Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 4 to 6 on 1600 ESPN. This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
Kicking off the week with what else but a Spencer on Sports Power Hour. Hanging out for about an hour and change till 5:10 tonight. Cubs and Phillies coming your way. Another series between division leaders starting up tonight. We got it for you right here on 1600 ESPN. Between now and then, it's Spencer on Sports here on Eastern Iowa's home for sports. 319-366-1600. Talk line, text line open for you here as we get going on a Monday afternoon. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. In the Power Hour today, we'll get to, we usually call it three big things. Today it might just become two big things because there was a pretty darn big story, and we have to give credit to Judge Claudia Wilken. Do we dare call her the master of news dumps? The House settlement approved. The final approval, the news came out 8:10 p.m. Central Time Friday night. That is some masterful news dumpage there from the judge out of the West Coast in California. But we have the House settlement and a lot of discussion about what it means for college sports. We're going to talk about this all week, even with the Power Hour today and tomorrow here on the show. But lots to dive into. We'll just scratch the surface a little bit here to start off. Three big things. Also want to look back at last night's game two of the NBA Finals. All square at one apiece. The Thunder winning wire to wire last night over the Pacers 123-107. Headed to Indy for the first time this series, as that is all tied up at one game apiece. Game three coming up Wednesday night. We'll look back at that here in just a bit. It's a Monday. That means we got to take your nominees for MVP and LVP, most valuable player or person, least valuable player or person. I've got several nominees for MVP, one for LVP. I gotta say, it's been kind of tough lately to find some LVP nominees, but I'm sure you out there in the listening audience have those. We'll share your responses coming up after 4:30. We'll try to squeeze in a quick sports menu as well. The big game tonight is Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. Fantastic series, a double overtime game Friday night. That was awesome to watch, and we'll talk about that coming up. Before we step out the door, turn you over to the Cubs Radio Network at 5:10 tonight here on 1600 ESPN. Again, 319-366-1600. Talk line, text line open for you. Producer Isaac is here and ready to go for another week. How you doing? How was the weekend?
It was good. Eventful in a lot of different ways. Yes. For one, we weren't even on News Dump Watch or anything like that. But
that's reserved for like the day before a holiday.
True. Yeah.
The Friday before a holiday, or we have the 4th of July this year is on a Friday, so the Thursday before is going to be in News Dump Watch kind of day. And we were all under the assumption, and I think most national media members were, not just us. We weren't the only ones who were kind of duped into thinking that it was going to be quite a while before the settlement got approved, because we talked about it earlier in the week. June 27th was now kind of the final day, and that was only a couple days before everything started to or needed to be in place on July 1. But we got it 8:10 p.m. Friday night, so that was certainly interesting to kind of follow along with the reaction over the weekend. We've had multiple days to kind of read through it all, and now we get to talk about it on Monday. So
yeah, expect many hiring or I don't know, is technically hiring the right word, or signing ons with like analysts or consultants from lots of different schools. I don't know if hiring is the right word, but there's gonna be a lot of announcements from a lot of different schools about we've hired X person to help facilitate our future for our athletic department, something like that.
That and get ready for lawsuits too, because
lots of those.
The whole legal part of this is not over just yet, but still lots to get to, lots to look ahead to, and lots to talk about. So let's not waste any more time. We'll get into what's normally called three big things, but it's really one or two big things today.
What's happening?
Big news. This just in.
This is really important.
Wow, that is really, really big.
Three big things, starting the conversation with this every Monday through Friday here on 1600 ESPN. If you want to weigh in at any point during our conversation here over the next 20 to 25 minutes, you're certainly welcome to do that at 319-366-1600. There's only one place to start with three big things.
Number one.
And that is the House settlement approved on Friday, the landmark multi-billion dollar settlement, giving final approval by Judge Claudia Wilkin on Friday evening. And just to break it down, and we've heard the basics of what this is going to do. And we're working on and efforting some folks who are much more knowledgeable than myself and even Isaac to help us kind of break it down even further over the next several days and even weeks here, because this is the new normal for college athletics. But this settlement, like I said, multi-billion dollars. It actually resolves three separate antitrust cases against the NCAA. The one that you hear tied to it is the House versus NCAA case. It may be kind of confusing to begin because you think the House, you think the House of Representatives. No, the House of Representatives is not suing the NCAA, at least not yet. The House refers to former Arizona State swimmer Grant House, who brought a federal lawsuit now 5 years ago in 2020, seeking damages for athletes who could not earn name, image, and likeness, or NIL money. That's one of the three cases that this resolves. It also resolves Hubbard versus NCAA and Carter versus NCAA. These three lawsuits were all filed against the NCAA and its power conferences, all related to earnings for college athletes. And if you know anything about kind of the legal process, or you just use common sense in this scenario, the NCAA certainly had quite a bit of an incentive to settle, because if they decided to fully carry this out and they're found to be liable for this and found to be at fault for this, they could have owed as much as $20 billion in damages had it lost the House case. But the big thing that this puts in place is the direct sharing of revenue with college athletes starting on July 1, just a few weeks from tomorrow, right? Yep, 3 weeks from tomorrow is July 1, and that's when this all goes into place. And this is capped each year, and the revenue sharing cap for this year, year one, 2025-2026, is expected to be about $20.5 million per year. That number calculated at 22% of the Power 5 schools' average athletic revenue. What this also does, just to break it down a little step further before we get into reacting to the news from late Friday night that we've been reading about and talking about over the weekend, another big part of the settlement that came from this House versus NCAA case is settling nearly $2.8 billion in back pay damages the NCAA will owe to current and former D1 athletes who have competed since 2016. And they plan to pay these back NIL payments in installments over 10 years. Most of that money, as you can imagine, is going to football and men's basketball players, considering those are the two cash cows, if you will, the ones that bring in the most money, generate the most revenue among college sports. So that is where that is headed. But there's a lot more to this, as we've talked about. We've talked about roster limits. Good conversation. If you didn't hear the gym class today with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, always enjoy hearing from Scott Docterman from The Athletic. He joined Scott and Mark after 3:30 today to talk more about this and share what he knows and his perspective on it. That podcast is at kgymradio.com. But I think when I look at kind of all this, and there's a lot to break down, and we'll dive into some more of the key details over the next couple of days here on the show when we don't have to cram everything into 1 hour here on 1600 ESPN. The big thing that I see just as a college sports fan, obviously, is change, right? And we are all kind of bracing for this this day when this was going to be finally approved. Now it's actually here. So change is the overarching theme that you see when you see kind of the bullet points listed out in front of you. The other thing that I just think of when I see all this laid out and I see the words official and I see the approval and all that, finally! I know, Isaac, we talked about this the other day when It was the deadline was extended a little bit further by the judge, and we talked about the possibility of this going all the way till June 27th. You said it, I said it, and I think most of the people listening would agree. The time for talk has been over. The time for discussion has been over. And I understand wanting to be deliberate with the process, wanting to get it right. But my goodness, like, we got almost, I think, too close to the deadline. It could have been a lot closer to the deadline when this all needed to be in place, but it's finally here, and I think, you know, this doesn't clean up the mess. This isn't some instant, like, you know, magic eraser thing that you can scrub off your walls with. Like, there's a lot that needs to be sorted out. As I said earlier, there's, you know, probably more lawsuits involved with this, because why wouldn't there be? It's 2025, and it's a controversial thing here moving forward. But the fact that it's finally signed off on, I think, is something that should be seen as a positive. There's a lot we need to learn about how this is going to work, and there's going to be, I think, some growing pains with this, because it's a massive shift in how college athletics is handled. But when I see it, I see, hey, great, now let's actually do this stuff and stop talking about it. What do you see when you see the news that this is finally approved?
Yeah, I think it's a really good groundwork for the future of college athletics. Like you said, there's a lot of things that still need to be decided, but I think for now this is a good starting point to know what the future looks like and how they can kind of, what lawsuits may come up, how they can kind of rule going forward, just so there's some structure, because it feels like we've been operating without any structure for the last 5 years. So this has some level of structure. I think there's still a lot of fair questions to have about it. I do think there are fair concerns for smaller schools. I don't think any of the power schools are going to suffer. Like, I don't think even Vanderbilt, as bad as they may be, I think they're going to be just fine because they get the SEC TV money. I am a little bit more concerned for schools like Northern Iowa, see how they adjust, and seeing if they have to cut any programs. I would hate to see programs at UNI cut, stuff like that, or Drake, or, you know, whatever it may be. But I think there's a lot of fair concerns. I think there's a lot of fair questions to have. But if nothing else, it's a really good base to build off of. And I think 5-10 years in the future, assuming that stuff like this keeps popping up, I think we'll have a lot more structured sense of what college athletics looks like. And that's really what all I really wanted. It got a little bit frustrating operating these last 5 years, never really knowing how much someone's getting paid, how the transfer portal worked, how any of this stuff worked. And now it feels like we're starting to have some level of guardrails. Enforcement is a question, is a fair question, but if nothing else, it's good groundwork. We'll see what happens down the line there.
Yeah, enforcement is something I at least want to cover in short detail today. But you mentioned the kind of the playing field. This does not, unfortunately, if you were hoping that this would level the playing field and, oh, everybody's got a chance now. No, it really doesn't. The teams and the schools that have the most money, like Big Ten, SEC, even ACC, Big 12, those schools, I think, will be fine. Notre Dame will be fine. But you mentioned UNI and Drake, and you know, the FCS schools certainly and conferences do have to opt into this as well. But I think about, like, the MAC. I think about the Mountain West. And the Mountain West is a pretty, you know, well-known, well, I don't want to say they're well off. They're not well off in the sense of the SEC or the Big Ten, but they're still a pretty known and visible, like,
their upper level
conference, right?
Their upper level group of five, sort of.
But they still have, they're not on the same level as a Power Four school. So where do they make up the difference in this? And their TV contract is nowhere near as lucrative as the Big Ten and the SEC and even the ACC for what it's worth. So there's still a lot of that to be discussed, a lot of making up ground that needs to happen. And when you're going to see, like you said, schools are going to be announcing, you know, former players or key people to be that GM or be that kind of NIL or finances leader here moving forward. There's a lot that needs to happen yet. And there's a lot of things that need to be clarified about how they're going to work. And enforcement is a big part of that. And there was some news that came out pretty quickly Friday night, too, about just kind of how the enforcement arm is going to be headed up, which we'll get to in a second. But first, some reaction to the news. This is ESPN's Pete Thamel. He appeared on the Pat McAfee show earlier today talking about just what this means and how to view the approval of the House
settlement. I think the best way to look at the House settlement is that it's a completely new pathway for college sports to go on. There are still a lot of questions, and there are certainly still some skepticism on how everything is going to work, but it's a complete reset and reboot of the system. The headline is, officially, formally, schools will be able to directly share revenue with players for the first time ever. Long, obviously, overdue, long anticipated. Friday night, 9:10 Eastern, Judge Wilkins set that into motion. So it is a completely new era, which is exciting because the old era was a mess. But there's also going to be a ton of questions pushing forward, and there will be some hiccups. It will not go smoothly. I think that's the safest thing to say.
ESPN's Pete Thamel earlier today on the Pat McAfee show. 319-366-1600. One of the big stories, I don't know if it was as big as the House settlement being approved or given final approval, but news came out Friday as well that Brian Seeley, Major League Baseball executive, was named the CEO of this new College Sports Commission on Friday night. He's been targeted for this role for weeks. It was just kind of a, okay, we're waiting on this anytime now. As soon as the approval comes, you're going to be our guy. And Seeley was tabbed to the role. And what this College Sports Commission is supposed to do, it's going to basically be the enforcement arm of most rules. It's going to have the final say in handing out punishments, deciding when rules have been broken. And for all the people that have been craving, okay, we need rules, we need guardrails, we need guidelines, this guy is going to have to be the guy, or is expected to be the guy, to make those decisions. And Pete Thamel talked a little bit more about him today, too. Again, Brian Seeley, formerly with Major League Baseball, and now with the NCAA, or with this College Sports Commission. He's the CEO. And Thamel was asked, why is he the guy to lead this group, lead this charge? And here's what he had to say.
Why Brian Seeley is a good question. And I think that his experience as an assistant U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., so he has significant litigating experience, and he can combine that, obviously, with years of running MLB's investigations. And so he has had his hand in two pots that are going to be applicable here. What his job is going to be in a lot of ways is he's going to be the sheriff of this whole thing, for lack of a more articulate way to put it. And he is going to be in the crosshairs. Everyone right now, we had five commissioners on a conference call this morning, is kind of linking hands and singing kumbaya and say, we all need to make this work. And it's only going to work if rules are enforced. If you say one thing about the NFL, like, you tamper and you're the Dolphins, there's punitive measures. And ultimately, he's going to have to be an unpopular figure in college sports, because he's going to have to help set rules, put them in place, and enforce them with punitive measures. And those are going to be in regards to NIL deals that are outside of revenue share. And that's where the new tension point in the industry lies.
Again, that's ESPN's Pete Thamel earlier today on the Pat McAfee show. The formal announcement of Seeley being hired includes a job description for him, and the job is described as having to, quote, build out the organization's investigative and enforcement teams and oversee all of its ongoing operations and stakeholder relationships. Those are big words to say he's going to be investigating and making sure that people are doing the right thing. What exactly the right thing and the rules that need to be followed, I think, are, well, we know what the rules, I think, should be, and what we assume them to be, but it's going to be, as you heard Pete Thamel say in that clip, his job to be the bad guy. And for too long, I think nobody wanted to be the bad guy for fear of being sued. And now you all have to answer to Mr. Seeley here, and we'll see if the lawsuit parade continues. But the NCAA's time as the enforcement agency, I think the big thing to note here, that's done. And it's all this CSC, the College Sports Commission, and Seeley is the CEO of that. He's also going to enforce rules on things like revenue sharing, third-party NIL deals. Those all have to be vetted as part of this. That's something we can get into later in the week. And also roster limits. And there's a timeline for those students that can be, you know, kind of grandfathered in, which was the big holdup with this the House settlement being approved. But they all got to run through this guy. They all got to run through the CSC, College Sports Commission, now. And the NCAA, they've been toothless for a while, and now they're even more toothless. It's up to the CSC now, and I think that's one pretty notable development out of all this, because it's not the NCAA who's setting the rules and enforcing them. It's an independent commission, although he's been hired by the Power Four, you know, commissioners, Tony Petitti, Brett Yormark, those guys. They've all had a hand in hiring this guy, and now it's up to him to kind of be... I hope he's able to separate himself from, like, being their hand-picked hire. Like, and look, we all know how college sports works, right? But you got to be the bad guy in this situation. The Big Ten teams, SEC, they can't get away with stuff while the Mountain West gets punished. That's what's happened. You know, people always make the joke, oh, well, Alabama does this, but then such school in the MAC or whatever gets punished. Like, you can't have that. You have to have that kind of level enforcement playing field, even if the playing field between Power Four and Group of Six is nowhere close to being that level, kind of flat surface that people assume it is. But Isaac, I think the College Sports Commission, I'm curious to see how this all works and how their enforcement works. But anything when it comes to enforcement, at least right now, to me, is better than what the NCAA has been doing, which is a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, they've had no enforcement and no sort of guardrail. So at least some entity is kind of stepping up. We'll see to what degree. I'm hopeful just because, I don't know, maybe it's just in my nature. Like, I don't know. I do understand the people that are saying, well, this is just going to lead to more of the old operation. I would at least like to give it a shot before I judge anything too quickly. I hope that they would enforce, I don't want to say necessarily strictly, but it does seem like some of the reported punishments could be pretty hefty. So it seems like the schools would be interested in avoiding that. I'm also very interested in seeing having a lot of these NIL agreements and revenue sharing agreements, you know, above board, so we can see actual figures on what players are being, or athletes are being paid, rather than,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
No disrespect to On3 or anything like that, but rather than just like these random reports from On3 or other, you know, sources saying, this is the reported or the speculated number. I'd rather have a hard number. That way I can accurately sort of talk about how much they're getting paid, sort of thing.
Well, yeah, and they, On3 too, again, not to pick on them, but they have their estimated valuation, and they use things like, and I'm sure I'm not getting the full picture here, but they kind of, it's an aggregator. It's like an algorithm kind of thing. Like, well, we estimate it based on all these factors. This is the dollar amount. Now we should be able to know. And I think we have a right to know, especially if you're a donor to wherever, not just Iowa or Iowa State, but anywhere that you're being asked to put in money to a collective or put in money to some new kind of thing that pops up, you should know where your money's going. And I think we can all get behind that actually being the case here moving forward. So a lot more to come with this, but the big, big story from the weekend, and like I said, late Friday night, not on News Dump Watch, but we probably should have been, with the House settlement getting full approval, late Friday night. 319-366-1600, the three big things, which has become really one big thing. Let's do quickly, just to get in a second big thing here before we get to break.
Number two.
Quick thought on the NBA Finals from last night. Don't have a game until Wednesday to talk about, but want to make sure we squeeze in a little discussion about the NBA Finals from last night. Oklahoma City getting the win, 123-107. Another big game from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And for the Pacers, well, they it went, let's just say this, game two went the way I thought game two was going to go. I think game one served as a wake-up call for the Thunder, into how to close out the game and to not let the Pacers creep back into things. And even when the Pacers got within, what, like 12, 13 a couple different times last night, each time that happened, the Thunder were able to put the foot back on the gas pedal, pull away, and they end up winning 123-107 last night. I'm not ready to make a hot take about, oh, this could, the Thunder are going to win three more in gentlemen sweep the series. They very well could. I'm not ready to make that kind of hot, outlandish take here on the show, but I'm interested to see this series go back to Indiana and how the or go to Indiana for the first time. I stand corrected. I'm interested to see how the series goes to Indiana and how the Thunder handle being on the road here, because they lost one at home. They would have loved to go up two games to none on Indiana. Didn't get it done, but best case scenario for them after losing game one was to get that split. And now you got to go to the home of the Pacers on Wednesday night. What was your read on game two last night?
Yeah, not a great Tyrese Haliburton game. Didn't really come alive until the fourth quarter, and by then it was far too late to actually, I don't know, they had just dug themselves too big of a hole to come out of, even though it seems like the Pacers can routinely do that. So just wait a little bit too long to get going there. The sort of ancillary pieces on the Thunder really did better. Chet, some of the minutes were still rough for Chet Holmgren, but there were, I thought he was much improved compared to game one. I think he had 15 points compared to 6 in game one. So that was a big one. And then my sort of concern, if I'm a Pacers fan, right now the Pacers have only led for 0.3 seconds this entire series.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, that was the most important 0.3 seconds in game one, but the Thunder have largely dominated games one and two. So that is a little bit of a concern. Pacers, you want to see a little bit more consistent play from the start to the end and not just really high play in one quarter and having to have a miraculous comeback with an epic shot.
One quick clip from each side. First, from the winning side, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who is averaging 33.6 points following a loss this postseason, per game after a loss this postseason, talking about if they can use this win from game two to have a good game three in Indy later this week.
Three games of reset, especially at this stage in the season. A series looks so different. We've had a series where we lost a game and won the next one by 40. We've had a series where we won two in a row by 20 and then lost the next one by 40. So it's like every game's a reset. And basketball reminds you of that. It's very humbling. It shows you that if you don't stay in the moment, if you don't come play ready to play, no matter who you are, no matter what you just did, you can get beat and beat pretty bad. And we've learned those lessons, so we should be ready to go.
Again, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the winning side. On the losing side, Tyrese Haliburton on going back home with the series all tied up at a game apiece.
You know, your job is to go split, go try to get one on the road. We got game one. You know, felt like we really let the rope slip, you know, there in the second quarter. You know, so I think you can, there's many different ways that you can choose to digest, you know, what's in front of you. But yeah, I think we focus on taking it a day at a time. So you got the split, you know, you feel good about that, you know, but we definitely wanted to play better tonight. You know, I think our processes need to be a lot better for us to be successful here. So yeah, it's still a race in the first of four. So we're going to our home court, tied 1-1. And, you know, we love playing at home, love playing in front of our fans. Our fans are amazing, you know, so just see where we can get better. And, just taking a day at a time.
17.6 assists for Tyrese Haliburton, but 5 turnovers yesterday. That's tied for most in a game in this season, including the regular season and the playoffs. Game 3 coming up Wednesday from Indianapolis. 11 for you Wednesday night, 6:30 here on 1600 ESPN. All right, two big things. We got two in out of the three here on 1600 ESPN. We got to move on to a Monday staple, Monday MVP. Who had the best weekend and who had the worst weekend or weekends in sports? We'll share your thoughts and share ours coming up in just a bit here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
Skies will be turning mostly clear as we head into the overnight hours as temperatures fall back into the lower 50s. On Tuesday, we expect mostly sunny skies during the day with a high temperature near 83. Tuesday night, clear skies will continue. Overnight lows will drop back into the lower 60s. On Wednesday, we'll continue to see mostly sunny skies with high temperatures warming up near 90 degrees. A more active pattern sets up Wednesday night into Thursday with chances for showers and storms. We'll see a high near 84. And that was a check for your weather first forecast. I'm meteorologist Kason Frericks.
Gear up for Quickstar's Mountain Dew Quick Climb. Now through August 17th, play free daily in the Quick Rewards app and earn bonus plays with every eligible purchase. Grab one with hot food, that's two bonus plays. Each week, the cash prize climbs by $5,000, all the way to a $250,000 grand prize. So open the app and get climbing. Your summer, your climb, your win. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents residing in Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan, South Dakota, North Dakota, or Wisconsin. Ends August 17th. Bonus plays require qualifying purchase. See full rules at quickstar.com/sweepstakes.
Tired of waiting only to get the wrong parts online?
At Good Guys Auto Parts,
Iowa City's only family-owned, family-run parts store, we keep it gooder.
Gooder prices,
gooder brands,
gooder warranty,
and actual humans to help.
Way gooder than a website.
Stop in or give us a call for fast, free delivery straight to your door,
garage,
man cave,
or she shed.
Good Guys has been voted ugliest parts store 15 years straight. But hey, like your mom said, it's what's on the inside that counts. Good Guys Auto Parts. Gooder than good. The good.
Emil's Hideaway is the place to get together. Stop in for a drink and some chow with your buddies. Emil's opens every day at 4. If you're hanging out at home instead, order pickup and delivery at emilshideaway.com. Emil's Hideaway, a great place to meet up with friends.
Oh my God, is this your house?
This is the humble abode.
Oh my God, it's so humble.
FX presents Adults.
You don't know your social security number?
No, I do. It's just my mom, like, knows the whole thing.
A new comedy about 20-somethings achieving zero anythings.
What is the worst that happens?
I go broke. I can't pay my loans. I start an OnlyFans, but only you guys subscribe.
I can't do OnlyFans.
Yeah, you wouldn't make it on there. So sorry.
FX's Adults. Wednesdays on FX. All episodes streaming on Hulu.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos, fast and easy online term life insurance. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/game. That's ethos.com/game.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
You bet it is. Spencer on Sports Power Hour continuing on here for a Monday with you till 5:10. Cubs and Phillies tonight. Second straight series for the Cubbies against a fellow division leader. I have it for you at 5:10 tonight. 5:45, the first pitch here on 1600 ESPN. Next two nights with a power hour, and then a little day of baseball for you on Wednesday. Full schedule available at kgymradio.com. Quick reminder, Todd Brommelkamp show all this week, giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Blues Traveler and the Gin Blossoms, along with special guest, the Spin Doctors. They're coming to the McGrath Amphitheater in Cedar Rapids Monday, July 7th. And Todd is giving you a chance to win tickets all this week between 6:30 and 9. Listen for the Red, White, and Blues Traveler ticket giveaway. Todd's going to have a keyword or phrase, and when you hear it, send it into the text line, 319-366-1600, for your chance to win. Next chance to win comes up tomorrow here on 1600 ESPN. 319-366-1600, do you have a Monday MVP or LVP nominee? Love to hear from you. Let's get to it for another week.
They're the best.
The best!
Tell them again.
The best!
Oh, I like it.
The best of the best.
Ah, who had the best or worst weekend in sports? Doesn't have to be a full weekend. It could be a moment that was just like, ooh, cringeworthy. Maybe it cost the team the game. Maybe it was something that didn't necessarily cost the team the game, but I don't know, made headlines for the wrong reasons. That's the LVP segment. MVP is pretty self-explanatory. Who deserves to be highlighted for the weekend that they had? There's a number of different ways you can go with it, and that's why we open it up to you in the text line, 319-366-1600. Monday MVP or LVP, whatever you got, welcome here for a Monday afternoon with Spencer on Sports. The obvious is, I think, where you could go with the NBA Finals. You got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 34 points last night. Couple of good performances off the bench, too, from Aaron Wiggins and Alex Caruso. Not sure they're MVP level worthy when you're talking about SGA and being the literal MVP of the NBA this year. But if you're looking at the NBA from that perspective, you could go to SGA, certainly, for being the MVP of last night's game. You could always return back to Friday, and even though it was against our beloved team of the show, Brad Marchand of the Florida Panthers, incredible performance with two goals, including the game winner in the second overtime. He's got three goals this series, so certainly has been stepping up big for the Panthers as that series is now back in Florida. They made the long, long flight from Edmonton down to Sunrise, Florida. They're looking to take a 2-1 series lead on home ice tonight, the Panthers are, but you could certainly look there for an MVP nominee. And there's plenty of baseball nominees as well. If you're looking up and down the baseball weekend that was, I don't know how you can look anywhere else than Isaac's beloved Detroit Tigers and Tarek Skubal, who's had a fantastic season so far. Sorry, Cub fans, you knew what you were getting into on Friday night facing Tarek Skubal, but 7 2/3, gave up 8 hits, but only 1 run, didn't walk a single batter, and struck out 6 in Friday night's game against the Cubs. Over his last 3 starts, now, Isaac, you're paying attention pretty closely to your newly beloved Detroit Tigers, but Skubal, 26 strikeouts and 0 walks for Skubal in his last 3 starts, which is pretty darn impressive. And he's the reigning AL Cy Young Award winner.
He's better this year, it seems like.
Yeah. And you and I were talking the other day. Last week?
Yeah, last week? I can't remember.
He was hitting, what, 90, 100?
It was his 94th pitch, and he hit 103.
That's incredible. That's just insane.
I think it was the fastest pitch of his career, I'm pretty sure.
And that's the 94th pitch of the game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's doing that kind of stuff. And he started the year 0-2 with 7 earned runs, and now he's just totally on fire. 6-0, 1.61 ERA in his last 11 starts with just 95 strikeouts to just 3 walks. That's Cy Young-level stuff. It's only June 9th, but I think you can crown Mr. Skubal already with that. So certainly from a pitching perspective, you can give him an MVP nod from the weekend. Batting-wise, if you're looking at that Tigers-Cubs series, the one game the Cubs did get against the Tigers, Seiya Suzuki. In fact, the Cubs in general had a big power day in Game 2 of that series, a 6-1 victory. Seiya Suzuki himself, 2 solo home runs, 5 total on the day in Saturday's 6-1 win. If you're keeping track of the RBI and home run leaderboard, RBI in particular, Seiya's got 55 on the year. That puts him in a tie for 3rd in all of baseball with none other than Aaron Judge, with his teammate Pete Crow Armstrong just behind him with 54. So Cubs still hitting the ball, driving in runs very, very well here. And despite some solid pitching performances, 2 losses in that series, but the Cubs still hitting the ball pretty well against pitchers not named Tarek Skubal or Jack Flaherty, for that matter, in that series. But Suzuki, I think, deserves a nod. Nolan Arenado, for you Cardinals fans, and everybody's talking about the Cubs being in first place, and rightfully so, but the Cardinals are still right there. They have not gone away. The Cardinals have not gone away. The Cardinals still just a couple games back in the standings here, 5-5 in their last 10. But Cardinals are doing some good things in the baseball diamond, and got a walk-off win thanks to Nolan Arenado on Saturday, which is still, beating the Dodgers. Dodgers are really banged up. What, 14 pitchers, is it? Or is it 14 players in general? But the Cardinals continue to play pretty good ball. They're sitting right there, 36-28. They've won series against quite a few playoff teams this season so far. So NL Central race is more interesting than maybe we thought it would be. I think we looked at the NL Central and, okay, well, we're not quite sure about these teams here. Maybe there's one team that maybe will rise to the top, but we've got some early back and forth, some early contention with still plenty of months to go. But I think Arenado certainly deserves a nod. Cardinals 4 games off the pace of the Cubs, so still a little bit behind. But even with how well Milwaukee has been playing over the last 10 games or so, 7-3 their last 10, they really have not made up any ground because the Cardinals just keep doing what they're doing, as do the Cubs. So that that three-team race there certainly is going to be one to watch there. I erred earlier and said the Phillies were in first place. The Mets are in first. I should know my standings better. But Phillies, still a very good team. They have not been playing well in their last 10, though. Bryce Harper on the injured list, 1-9 in their last 10. So we'll see what happens with that series tonight, but certainly an opportunity for the Cubs against still a very good baseball team that's in contention in the National League East. So those are my nominees. A lot from the baseball side with Skubal, Arenado, and Suzuki. I got to give a nod to Carlos Alcaraz as well. I'm not a huge tennis guy, but he was within 1 point of losing. He was plus 4,000 to win live at multiple sports books, and he came back to win in 5 sets over Yannick Sinner at the French Open Finals. So that deserves a tip of the cap as well.
Yeah,
on
that's
the tennis
who,
side.
That's who I was going to nominate. Unreal comeback. And Yannick Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz, I don't know a ton about tennis, but I know those two have combined for the last 6 majors. Like, they have effectively replaced the years of the Federers and the Nadals,
mm-hmm.
and it's
yeah.
these two now. It's the big two. Djokovic is still around, but he's obviously nearing the end. He's pretty old. I think he's 38. So those are going to be the two names that kind of rule men's tennis going forward. I think they're 22 and 23. So they're going to be around for quite some time. My other nominee would be Merab Dvalishvili. He defended his bantamweight title over the weekend against Sean O'Malley and the UFC, and in my opinion now becomes the unquestioned GOAT of that division. He's the best bantamweight ever. Before, I still would have had him as the best bantamweight ever, but I think you can make a case for Dominic Cruz now against another win against Sean O'Malley. I think he is by far the best bantamweight, the most well-rounded bantamweight, and he kind of just cemented his legacy. So that would be my nominee, him and Alcaraz, which you mentioned.
Yeah, Alcaraz, that 5 hours and 29 minutes for that French Open final. Just incredible, incredible stuff. The second longest men's major final by time on the court. So he's down to his last, he's match point for Sinner. And then Alcaraz said, hold on, not so fast, my friend. 319-366-1600, number of nominees for Coco Gauff as well on the women's side. As Ryan on the text line, young lady is going to be special. Yeah, that was incredible stuff, too, on the women's side.
I would say she already is special.
Yes.
Just based off
yes.
Even from, man, I remember her U.S. Open run when she was, what, was that 16, 15? She was young going mm-hmm. against Serena or something like that. I remember watching that. Yeah, she's going to be great.
So, yeah, certainly add Coco Gauff, 7509 agreeing as well. On the text line, a lot of talk today when you talk about sports media, TNT, they really love, there's the first year doing tennis and they get the French Open with two, well, you have the epic men's conclusion and then Coco Gauff and her incredible finish on the women's side. So yeah, you've got quite a bit of good value there, did TNT with that contract. But those are my MVP nominees. Take your MVP nominees and also your LVP nominees. I've got one to get to from LVP, and if you have others, you can send it in, and we'll get to those next here on 1600 ESPN. Monday MVP and LVP continues after this.
We've said it for years. We want to give you our best price or most competitive price up front, and now Ford's brought that to the table.
Just makes you feel good.
Patrick Eads and Terry Adams with Deary Ford.
It's a true Ford employee pricing plan.
As if you work for Ford or you're a retiree from Ford.
You could walk in and buy a new Ford for less money than I could purchase one for.
I have never seen Ford do a sale like this.
The From America for America event.
Sale extended through July 6th. Deary Ford, Iowa City.
When we say here for you, we mean it.
It's a great deal.
You only have 4 months until Windows 10 support ends. We can help. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. Our special Windows 11 evaluation means we'll come to your business, check every computer, and let you know which ones can handle this crucial software upgrade and which ones need to be replaced. With prices and supply chains in continual flux, you'll want to get your company's plan in place ASAP. Go to ncsei.com and click on Windows 11 evaluation to get started.
Emil's Hideaway is the place to get together. Stop in for a drink and some chow with your buddies. Emil's opens every day at 4. If you're hanging out at home instead, order pickup and delivery at emilshideaway.com. Emil's Hideaway, a great place to meet up with friends.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Well, Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can get a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds, through a 100% online process. It all starts with an online intake form. Get started at Hims.com/joy, and from there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs with options up to 95% less than the brand names. Millions of men experience ED, but Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy for your free online visit. Hims.com/joy.
This is Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
319-366-1600, Spencer on Sports. Rolling right along here on a Monday, continuing with our Monday MVP and LVP. Thanks for your nominees. Appreciate them, both MVP and LVP. I had a long list of MVP nominees, but the text line is reminding me of some moments that I even missed. So thank you for doing the work for me, text line. 319-366-1600. Let's start as we continue on LVP, least valuable player or person. I figured we'd get a nominee from someone about Angel Reese. We're not doing a radio show in Iowa if we don't have one targeted towards Angel Reese. 1489 will get the credit for the nominee. The Chicago Sky in general. I know Courtney Vandersloot got hurt. She tore her ACL. Done for the year. So that's just bad luck right there. I don't know what to make of the Sky. I didn't get to see any of Saturday night's game, but the Fever without Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham just dominated them from start to finish. Reese, just 2 for 7 from the field. 12 rebounds, probably 9 of those off her own misses. But yeah, for the player that many people expect her to be or think she is or hype her up to be, she routinely does not, at least on the shooting end, turn in a type of performance you'd expect. I'm trying to be as fair as possible. I'm not a big fan of hers myself. Just because I don't want to get into any of that. I certainly don't want to be flamed online and called things that I'm not. So I'll just leave it at that. But she needs to be better than she is for the Sky to be successful. And I'm not sure she's ever going to get to that point. But I don't know what to make of the Sky. That's my overall overarching point there.
Well, I think I know what to make of the Sky. They're just a bad basketball team.
They're bad.
They're just bad. Like, I think that is the big takeaway. It's hard for me to say it's specifically for that game, specifically Angel Reese, LVP. The whole team was just awful. Their leading scorer scored 8 points. Like, that team is just...
Can't do that.
Not good. I do
32%
agree.
From the floor. That's Yeah.
I do agree. She scoring-wise, she's not great. I think... Someone, I don't know if it's her or someone just needs to have talk. She can't be your leading scorer of your team. She can't be the lead scorer of their team. She has a role in the league for sure. She's a good sort of interior rebounder, a good hustle player. But if you're hoping for her to put up big scoring numbers, I think you're headed down the wrong path as far as her career goes. I think you need a legitimate outside scoring threat that can sort of lead that team. But we'll see.
Yeah, if you're expecting her to have like 40 and 10 a night, that she's not going to do that.
Even if you're expecting 15 and 11, like I think I would, if she's averaging 11 and 10, I think that's a really solid career for her considering her current ability. Now, hopefully she progresses. I never root against anyone unless they did some off the court stuff that I really is appalling, but she's really got to, I think, have a talk with someone in the coaching staff. Someone just has to sit down with her and say, understand where you're at right now in your career and what your ability is right now, and then work on from that.
I'll just give the standard I agree to you. We'll just leave it at that. I've already said too much to maybe inflame some people, but that's fine. That come at me, bro. That's all I have to say. Angel Reese, certainly a nominee there. And the other one on the text line from Ryan, Nick Fortes or Ryan Weathers. We're going to the Marlins. You could name them the LVPs for getting swept by the Rockies last week, certainly. But now where Ryan's going on the text line, Fortes nailed Weathers in the head on the throw down to second base. Ryan saying Weathers more at fault. I saw that clip. You know, they do the warm-up tosses. You toss it down to second. You go around the horn, right? You learn that stuff in, like, what, Little League baseball? Yeah, Ryan Weathers got in the way of the throw from Nick Fortes. That's, yeah, duck. You're supposed to duck. Every time you see the pitcher standing there, you got to duck, right? Make sure the throwdown gets there in time. So, yeah, I'd agree with that. Probably more Weathers than Fortes, but you got to know where your buddy's at, where your pitcher's at on that throwdown. I had one. This came across the feed yesterday. Derek Thomas. Umpires take a lot of heat, but Derek Thomas was the home plate umpire in the series finale between the Cubs and the Tigers yesterday. He tossed both Nico Hoerner and Craig Counsell after Hoerner said, and Hoerner said this is what he said. It's on tape. You can hear it on the video feed. Hoerner turned around after a called third strike and said to Mr. Thomas, "You're having a really bad day." That's all he said. Didn't swear, didn't call names, didn't say anything bad. Just said, "You're having a really bad day," and Thomas tossed him. And then Counsell came out and said, "Why did you toss him?" And then he got tossed for arguing the toss of Nico Hoerner. Derek Thomas gets the nominee, LVP nominee for me here today. Counsell not unhappy, saying the injection of Nico was completely unwarranted. Nothing that was said that was warranting an injection. You can't eject players and affect outcomes of games for no offense. I don't know if that impacted the outcome of the game, but you can't, for something as simple as that, you should not be having that quick a trigger. If you're an umpire, keep your cool. I don't care if you feel you got showed up. Maybe he's right. Maybe Nico is right. Accept criticism. It's part of life, even for Major League Baseball umpires. So Hoerner said Thomas told him what he said was, quote, unacceptable, saying you had a really bad day. You're having a really bad day today. So that's my LVP nominee. I don't know why you'd, I don't know. If I'm Nico, just keep your mouth shut. You never know what you're going to get. But, yeah. But at the same time, for something as innocent as that, you can't toss
somebody. There's been worse said to umpires. Yes. I'm sure he's heard worse than that before. Yes. Sounds like he just was having a bad day, but well, that was more mentally, emotionally, having a bad day than anything.
No tolerance, apparently.
Anything else. My LVP would be Patchy Mix, by the way. Another MMA. He was a really hyped. He was the Bellator champion. Came over to the UFC. Everyone was like, oh, he's going to come in and dominate.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost his first fight, and like he wasn't even close. He was Oof. Like a punching bag out there. Just got worked by Mario Bautista. Not even close. We'll see how he progresses from there, but not a great debut from Patchy Mix.
Certainly not. All right, we'll maybe get to a few more. I see a few more on the text line. We'll continue on and do a quick preview of the night ahead. Power Hour wraps up next here on 1600 ESPN.
If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide, experiencing a mental health or substance use crisis, or just need someone to listen, 988 provides a direct connection to free, confidential, and compassionate support. When you call, text, or chat 988, you'll be quickly connected to trained crisis counselors who will listen to your concerns, provide support, and connect you to additional resources if needed. There is hope. You are not alone. For 24/7 support, call or text 988 or chat 988lifeline.org.
Iowa, it's John Walters, voice of the Cyclones. In sports and in life, everyone needs someone to help show the way. That's what Iowa's disability access points are all about. They connect people with disabilities, families, and caregivers to the right support. From planning and information to referrals, you're not alone. Part of Iowa's Aging and Disability Resource Network Center, they're here to help, no matter where you are in the state. Visit hhs.iowa.gov/ADRC to find your access point today.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger, who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Tickets now.
Look, they got a dog.
Oh.
To the movie event of the summer.
You sure that's a dog?
Yeah.
Rough.
This Memorial Day, the summer starts with Stitch.
Adorable little psychopath. Stitch is back,
alright. Disney's Lilo and Stitch, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing only in theaters.
Is KGYM Cedar Rapids on FM at 102.3 and 106.3.
Is SportsCenter.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN has learned Cavaliers guard Darius Garland will likely miss the start of the new NBA season. He had surgery today on his left big toe, a nagging injury that bothered him during the playoffs. The NBA Finals, all even now. The Oklahoma City Thunder are 18-2 after a loss this season. Thunder forward Jalen Williams says it's important to realize that it's now the Pacers' turn to fight back.
The biggest thing is understanding your opponent and where their heads are at, and try and put yourself in their shoes. The good thing is now it's 0-0 for us, for sure, so we just got to kind of understand what kind of energy they're gonna come out with, and you know, them being at home, them in the finals, what kind of like punch they're gonna throw, and be ready for that.
Jalen Williams. The Red Sox call up 21-year-old outfielder Roman Anthony, baseball's number one prospect. He'll play tonight against the Rays. There's only one spot available at the College World Series. That'll be settled tonight when Duke hosts Murray State, that game at 7 Eastern on ESPN.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. And now, a no-frills ad brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Here it is. You could save big when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive. That's it. See? Just a good old-fashioned, straightforward ad. See if you could save at progressive.com.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by Network Computer Solutions. Their people are the missing piece to your IT puzzle. See how they can help your business at ncsei.com.
You only have 4 months until Windows 10 support ends. We can help. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. Our special Windows 11 evaluation means we'll come to your business, check every computer, and let you know which ones can handle this crucial software upgrade and which ones need to be replaced. With prices and supply chains in continual flux, you'll want to get your company's plan in place ASAP. Go to ncsei.com and click on Windows 11 evaluation to get started.
Radio Iowa, I'm Dar Danielson. The Kids Count annual report from the NEA Casey Foundation ranks Iowa ninth in assessment on child well-being. Common Good Iowa Executive Director Ann Disher says some of the education rankings are not so good for a state that touted on its quarter foundation in education.
So when I see a 20th rank overall in education, I do wonder about how well we're living up to that ideal.
She says the number of kids covered by health insurance help with the higher ranking. Extra monitors have been added, and the Mississippi River Bridge from Lansing into Wisconsin reopened this morning after being closed May 17th when movement was detected. It's believed that movement came from construction work on the new bridge, which won't be done until the end of 2026. Iowa native Peggy Whitson and three crewmates preparing for tomorrow's launch of the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. They'll head to the International Space Station, and they have some 60 experiments to conduct there. Radio Iowa, I'm Dar Danielson.
He needs someone to take him to the movies, someone to laugh with. So if things aren't going right at home or school, he'll still know he can count on you. For a shoulder to lean on, for a laugh or two. He needs someone who's there for him, someone like you. There are kids in your community who need guidance from someone who knows the importance of giving back so they can have a brighter future. Be that someone. Be a mentor.
Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services.
You may know someone with diabetes, a friend, coworker, or even a family member. Prediabetes is a serious condition. Being overweight, not exercising, or having a family history of type 2 diabetes means you could have prediabetes and not know it. Symptoms may never show until it's too late. The good news is prediabetes can be reversible. Prevent type 2 diabetes before it starts. Find out if you're at risk by taking the quiz at hhs.iowa.gov/diabetes. A message from Iowa HHS.
Live and local sports talk for your ride home. It's Drive Time with Spencer on Sports on 1600 ESPN.
It is indeed Drive Time here on 1600 ESPN. Another very short one today. Short or long, it's driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Three locations for your convenience, Iowa City, North Liberty, or Grinnell. And check them out online at LinderTire.com. Appreciate their support of the program. Power Hour winding down here with you till 5:10. Cubs radio pregame on the way in about 5 minutes here. Cubs and Phillies leading off the series tonight. 5:10 pregame, 5:45 first pitch. Those of you curious, we'll be back to, I think, a semi-normal schedule of shows actually being on from 4 to 6, or maybe like 4:15, 4:30 to 6, depending on an afternoon Cubs game. Later this week and throughout much of the rest of the month, there were a few people on the text line late last week, like, what's the deal with all these early starts? That's just the schedule. We're at the mercy of the schedule. And since we're a Cubs radio affiliate, we have to carry everything that's on the air. So when the pregame starts, that's when I gotta stop talking. So this has just been, I feel like, kind of an abnormal schedule. Not every season, not every month has multiple 5:45 start times in a row like we had last week. We had three 5:45 start times and then a 5:35 pregame or 5:10 pregame like we had three times last week and then two times to begin this week. So certainly we're happy to bring you Cubs baseball, but I know there's folks who are, hey, we'd love to hear more of the local show. That's kind of where we're at, being the Cubs radio affiliate. So I know for sure Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week we have full-ish shows. So look for that, but certainly happy to bring you the Cubs here for those of you listening for the Cubs here on Eastern Iowa's home for Chicago Cubs baseball and sports in general. We've got the NBA Finals later on this week. Lots to look forward to as we start up a brand new week. But the Power Hour has become commonplace over the last couple of weeks, and it's a challenge because I'm so used to doing a 2-hour show, Isaac, that I now have to go back to what I did when I started. I made this reference several times, but when they first started, gave me a show, it was 1 hour, and it was easy to budget for an hour, but my brain has been so used to 2 hours that now it's a challenge to try to plan for a 1-hour show when you are so used to doing 2 hours. I think such is life.
It's mostly they're in the Eastern time zone right now. Once they get out of the Eastern time zone, things will have a little bit more normalcy. It's still a little bit more longer shows there.
Yeah, so we'll still have a few shorter shows on Fridays when they play at 1:20 and stuff like that when we have those games on for you. But there were a few people who asked. We love to bring you the Cubs games, but I know there's people who love the local shows. We're trying to give you that kind of balance of what we have here in the afternoon. So a little bit of anomaly with the consistent 5:45 Central first pitches, which leads to an earlier pregame start. But Cubs and Phillies tonight, Matthew Boyd and Zach Wheeler, the pitching matchup, 5:45, first pitch tonight. We've got it for you coming up here in a matter of moments. Other games, regional games on the schedule, you've got the Battle for Ohio, Guardians and Reds tonight at 5:40, Wade Miley and Luis Ortiz. Pirates and Marlins tonight at 5:40 as well from Pittsburgh. The Braves and the Brewers at 6:40, Chris Sale and Aaron Civale, the pitching matchup there from Milwaukee. And you've got the Cardinals and the Blue Jays at 6:45. Jose Berrios and Andre Pallante, the pitching matchup down at Busch Stadium in St. Louis. Hockey will rule the roost tonight as well. We're cheering on team of the show, Edmonton at Florida tonight, 7 o'clock on TNT. Teams that have a 2-1 series lead in a best-of-7 Stanley Cup final have gone on to win the series 80% of the time. So this is a very pivotal game tonight for Game 3. I will just put it this way. We want the cup. Team of the show. I think they win on enemy ice tonight. just how the series has gone. We'll see, and we'll talk about it more tomorrow. Plenty more discussion of the House settlement story as well. We'll have that for you here on 1600 ESPN. Have a great night.
Iowa, it's John Walters, voice of the Cyclones. In sports and in life, everyone needs someone to help show the way. That's what Iowa's Disability Access Points are all about. They connect